Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after what a night on Survivor. A lot going on.
A fun episode. What a great, crazy, fun, tragically ending episode. I was so sorry to see Drea go, but
sorry for you.
Sorry for me.
Yeah, sorry for Drea. That's Jeff's new catchphrase. Yeah, wild episode. A lot to unpack tonight. Survivor Know-It-Alls are back. I am Rob Cesarino. The guys who they didn't really even win the game at all, but one of us has recently won the pushcart prize.
Oh my God,
for Rob. A short story to sharks. Stephen Fishback.
I am. Thank you for sharing that big news. I am still overwhelmed. I just found out recently, and it was just announced today that I won a pushcart prize for my story Two Sharks, which is about a bunch of reality has-beens. It's a subject I know very well, but the pushcart is amazing, and it's an incredible prize. And I honestly can't believe when I saw the email, Julia was like, are you okay? I went catatonic for a few minutes. So, very exciting. Anyway, back to
congratulations. You and Lindsay have some much in common. Big celebratory winners tonight.
And that, you know what? I thought about switching my short story I submitted for a different short story, but I went with my gut. This is the short story I want to submit. Yeah.
Even though all of the experts said to switch.
Yeah.
You stuck with your gut.
I mean, you know, two out of two times the person who is in that spot decides to stick with their gut. They're right. I say to you, you know, math is a lie. Mm-hmm. That's my it has been definitively proven by Survivor. Math is a lie.
Okay. A lot to unpack. We had the do or die tonight. Then knowledge is power. Also, an incredible move. Omer and Lindsay come up with.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about.
I can't wait.
We'll talk about everything going on here on a very busy episode of Survivor. Of course, happy to have you here with us for the Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Happy to have you here with us, Rob.
Yes, you're Stephen. First off, yes,
gallivanting
with the glitterati. Sure. great job last week with Aaron.
It was so fun.
Yeah, incredible job. Very fun to listen to from last week. So thank you so much for holding it down last Wednesday, not burning the place down while we were out doing the live show. Thank you so much for that. But we have, of course, on Thursday, our exit interview coming up with Drea. We'll have a lot to talk about with Drea. And then we have a great guest to recap everything with, Ricard Foyer of season 41.
Wow.
Of course, great week to talk to a season 41 person between the do or die and the knowledge is power coming into practice this week. So we will talk about all that. And of course, on the Survivor Feedback Show, baby boy, Bryce Isaiah will join me for your feedback show. So get your feedback questions in.
Wow, what a week.
Yeah. So lots of great stuff coming your way for Survivor this week. And then, of course, we will also have the Survivor Academy coming up this weekend with Anessa joining me to talk about everything.
Big lesson for future Survivor split players. Don't switch.
Don't switch. Well, don't switch. I guess we'll talk about whether or not the Do or Die should come back on our Instagram at RHAP Grams tonight. We are asking people, should the Do or Die be back for season 43?
No.
Kill it. Kill it, with it fire.
And the worst thing that could have happened tonight,
yes,
is if Lindsay had been eliminated, we are suddenly robbed of this amazing tribal council. Do you think Jeff was like, so this is the one, though? Some of these are safe. Some of these are eliminated.
It didn't seem like it. It didn't seem like it.
I don't think he would do it either. But
yeah,
if I were Jeff, my gut would be like, you know what's happening if Lindsay is, stays. You want her to stay. You're like, so, if you choose this one, you're safe.
Well, Jeff admitted tonight he knows who has everything. Yeah.
He never said that before.
He's never said that before. He's always said, I don't know anything. I don't know that. I don't know.
They don't even brief me about it.
They don't tell me anything.
Who are you people?
Yeah, he said tonight that he knows. He said tonight that he knows who has all the advantages. He also described himself as a viewer, which I thought was kind of a wild way for him to describe himself, talking about just recapping the tribal council. But that being said, to quote our friend Wendell Holland, or to, sort of like, misquote Wendell,
put no bars.
You have no bars. Put the Do or Die down. It's trash. It's trash. And I really was hoping during the battle, the heads up battle between Jonathan and Lindsay tonight, I was like, oh, Jonathan is going to go into the Do or Die, and Jonathan is going to lose the Do or Die. And this is how the Do or Die ends tonight.
It's gonna break in Jeff.
Yeah. Yes, that they, that when Jonathan goes out on the Do or Die, that Jeff that gets into the fetal position, like, what have I wrought? I took out Jonathan with the Do or Die. We get rid of it. It's trash. But then when he didn't go into it, I was like, oh my God, we are going to lose Lindsay on this. And what we had this amazing tribal council in off, and now to give them credit, I mean, knowledge is power, which you and I very much poo-pooed, kind of is also 2 for 2.
Yeah, 2 for 2 great Survivor moments, both times because the person blabbed, right?
Yes.
In both cases it was because someone else knew about the advantage that shouldn't have, which in my mind proves that any advantage is good so long as the information about it is public. Like, that makes drama. You know, if Treya had just waited one more day to use this advantage, right? Or I'm sorry, to share information about her advantage. If she had, hasn't told Omer for 3 weeks, she waits, doesn't tell Omer today, uses it herself, I think that would be kind of annoying. It would have been like a big tribal council moment, but I think it would have been kind of annoying to see.
And it just goes to show that I do feel like that Survivor advantages are in the game not to be played correctly. Survivor advantages are in the game to be played incorrectly.
Hey, listen.
Yes.
I'm all about that. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of like that. If you look at like the case study for great Survivor moments, they happen often when somebody does something incorrectly, more so than, the person, other than like Parvati, like playing the idols the right way, or maybe Kelly Wentworth, more often than not, it's like you have these moments that come out of like people like sort of like blabbing and giving away information or not using the idol or the advantage at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like so maddening. I mean, with hours left, if Dre had just like not told Omer for a couple hours, she'd be in the game. She would have stolen Mike's idol, played Mike's idol. I mean, what a power move that would have been for her. I mean, the other lesson, as much as a viewer, you want people to share information and screw up, as a player, holy cow, you have to be looking at this and thinking, I should never tell anybody anything.
Yeah, you should not, especially in this era of Survivor, where
this is the silence era.
the silence era. However, the show has made it they know that, and they have made it they've gone out of their way to try to make as many of these advantages and idols sort of sticky where other players happen to know them. Andrea happened to have an advantage that she was able to avoid detection, where they put something in there to make her get the red paint on her arm, and Tori saw it, but she was able to, you know, sort of like brush that off and then ultimately not have anybody detect that she had it. And then she squanders that advantage by telling Omer about what she is planning to do at the tribal council. Now, something that came up in the episode where, okay, well, Drea and Omer are talking, and I had been feeling like all season long, okay, well, Omer and Drea, I mean, like, they're probably going to be going for each other at some point because we never see them talk strategy. However, in my exit interview with High last week, I asked High about what was going on. Who was he working with? High told me his final three was actually himself, Drea, and Omer, which blew my mind that these three had been working together. Now, I don't know how much were Omer and Drea talking to each other, but I think it is very possible and reasonable to think that there might have been an Omer and Drea relationship that was stronger than anything we saw on the show. And potentially they didn't give us that story to make it seem like more of like, wow, what a boner from Drea that I can't believe. Why would she randomly tell Omer about this, as opposed to it was more of an Omer betrayal and they had been working closer together?
Well, I mean, I think however you slice it, what amazing gameplay from Omer, you know, who seems to be everyone's closest confidant, who is getting everyone to confide to him.
Yes.
And then who therefore, you know, is on nobody's radar until potentially right now when Drea informs everybody, oh, Omer is the only person I told the about secrets. This.
Yes.
Yeah. And also like, that's kind of great for Omer. Like he needs that PR right now. If everyone thinks Omer is in the shadow, you know, if everyone doesn't know, if nobody knows that Omer is playing really well, he's not going to get a lot of respect at the end. He needs some people who recognize that he is really playing this incredible game where he is chatting with everyone. He's getting everyone to trust him. The challenge, of course, for Omer is now, can he, you know, ride it out these next three votes? Make it to the finals.
Mm-hmm. And so that I want to also give credit to Lindsay, who is the person who Omer gets the information, hey, that this is what's going to happen tonight. It seems like in the episode, Lindsay is the one who first suggests, but wait, what if you get Mike to give the idol to you or me? And then we ultimately let him, then the idol can't be stolen from him. And it seems like that's Lindsay's idea. I really think that this is an interesting thing to talk about of that. Those two chose to do in that moment where they can sort of control the vote. They can decide, okay, well, all right, we know Drea, if Lindsay is safe, big if, okay. But if Lindsay is safe and we are going into a vote tonight, what do we want to do? Do we want to either let Drea do what she wants to do and vote out Mike, to take Mike's idol and vote out Mike? Both of them are working with Drea. They could have either then taken Mike's idol and basically rescued Mike from having his idol stolen and voted out Drea, which they did, or they could have taken Mike's idol and voted out Mike in that spot. And I think all of those ideas are interesting and worth discussing.
Yeah.
Did they pick the best course of action in your mind, Stephen?
It's so hard. I'm curious to talk through it. So the most extreme move, right, would have been to get Mike to give you his idol and then vote him out anyway. Then yes. You've got the idol from Mike. Problem is, Drea still has her knowledge of power advantage.
No, that would be dumb.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Right. In this scenario, Drea misfires on her knowledge of power advantage. But then you've pissed off everybody, and you know Drea's mad at you. Mike is furious at you on the jury.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I think this is actually the danger of a game like Omer's in general, is that if someone votes you out and you're their enemy, you're like, you got me. Good job. If someone is your best ally and they stab you in the back right during your big moment, as someone who has had that experience, I know that you get super salty about it. You know, you're like, anything so that this jerk doesn't win. Yeah. You know, and so if you have any other viable option, you know, to vote for at the end, you're like, that person. That's the one who I really want to win. So I think, like, if you are stab your people who really are trusting you in the back too soon, I think that can create a lot of animosity on the jury. And so I think that's in general the danger of what Omer's doing here. And, like, you know, Drea leaves saying, hey, Omer's the one who did this. I think that is, I'm not voting for Omer. I mean, I think you could read that as, like, Drea, game respects game. Like, you know, she'll give him the vote if he gets there. I don't think that's the case. But anyway, what is the best move here? I guess that's the ultimate question. Is it for Omer or is it for Lindsay? I would get out Drea. Drea's got the most stuff in her bag. She has a tremendous amount of respect from the other jurors and the other players. And she also, at least from what we've seen, she seems the most independent. Like, Mike, you can lead a little bit, right? Maybe a lot. Mike is like, you know, it sure seems if you're Omer, you think you can lead Mike around. And I would rather be leading Mike with an idol than for other people to know I have an idol, and have Drea still in the game. I think. What do you think, Rob?
I think it's, as you laid out, it's very complicated. I do think that they probably made the optimal move here, because I think that for Omer, I think what he has also done is that I think his number one is now Lindsay. I feel like that Omer and Lindsay are headed to the final three. I think it's a very good question. Can Omer beat Lindsay? I think that Lindsay, that her stock, I think, went up to, even though Omer had a really good night, for especially as a viewer, where we've seen everything he does. But if you're one of the people that was on the bench, I think that they were really, like, in awe of Lindsay and, like, that her, just guile of going into the do or die, that, you know, basically everybody, like, looked at Jonathan and folded except for Lindsay. And I think that she did earn a lot of respect from people going into that. And even when Drea left, she said, you know, Lindsay, you know, I'm rooting for you. So I think that Drea would vote for Lindsay over Omer in the final three. And I'm not sure how many other people might feel that way about Lindsay. But now the question that is really going to be interesting next week is that Omer took Mike's idol tonight, does Mike say, whoa, that was close? Hey, Omer, when am I getting that idol back? Or was it sort of like, hey, we saved your life in the game. Shouldn't I get to keep the idol? Like, I kind of think Mike is going to want the idol back.
Oh, 100%, Mike. I mean, I think in Mike's mind, like, he, like, as part of this scheme they all pulled together, you know, lent the idol to Omer. I certainly don't think he,
yeah.
Because, like, from Mike's perspective, it's better for him to play the idol himself, mm-hmm, than for him to give it to, to give it to somebody else to have to, you know, especially, mm-hmm, you know, in the next couple of votes, when there's going to be a lot of people who are safe. Getting back to your previous point, you know, we certainly talked a lot in past seasons about how it matters so much if your big flashy moments are in front of the jury versus not in front of the jury. So vis-a-vis the do or die, you know, I agree with you. I think, like, Lindsay having that big moment
didn't help Deshaun last season.
No, but it's slightly different. I we talked about this in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, where, you know, Ben ends up beating Chrissy. You know, Chrissy had all these immunity wins, was, you know, one of the dominant strategic forces. Ben has all the big flashy idol plays, and ultimately what the jury sees is the big flashy idol plays. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now for Lindsay also, you can see that, like, she is very much motivated to make this move of, like, hey, let's check on Drea in this spot, because now not only she get, like, a potential, like, person out of the game who was, you know, had a really good shot at winning in the final three, according to everything we heard tonight, but also now Lindsay has an idol. This sets up a very interesting scenario, or not interesting scenario, depending on where you're coming from, where now we have three active idols in the game heading into the final six. We can also have somebody winning individual immunity. We could potentially have a scenario where that, if not at final six, we could have an advantage get in at the final five, where one person is immune, other three people play their idols, and basically Omer, who is one of the people who is unprotected by idols, there is a scenario where, you know, say Romeo goes out at the final six, Jonathan
wins
immunity.
Who's voting out Romeo?
Well, it's a good question. Although there is a Taku 4. There is a Taku 4 right now. It is the show is not giving us that storyline very much. If the Taku 4 is sticking together, but I think that hypothetically, if there is a Taku 4 and Mike wins immunity at the final six, you could see the scenario where Romeo goes out, but potentially, a Jonathan immunity at 5 could lead to an Omer advantage getting out of the game.
Don't put that into the world, Rob. If it happens, we know who to blame. Rob Cesternino right now, 6 months later. Mm-hmm.
It would be my fault. I'm just still looking at a scenario here where all of a sudden, I mean, the shot in the dark is over. If anybody is still thinking about that, but we do have this, scenario where some of these idols next week, only 4 people could potentially be safe. But at 5, that's where you could have the potential advantage getting on the horizon.
Yeah. Wow. That actually makes a lot of sense, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it. Because I'm wondering, to me, the winners seem like it's going to be Omer or Marianne. I just don't see anybody else winning. I mean, I know you're saying Lindsay could win in this world, but to have another under-edited woman win twice in a row, wouldn't that? I mean, of course, that was my whole reason why Erica couldn't win. It's she was too under-edited. They would never do that. The first female winner in so many seasons, it would be just terrible to give her such a terrible edit. Well, they did it anyway. So maybe that's not a good reason why Lindsay can't win.
Yeah. Don't get tripped up by the edit. I'm just saying that, and especially that Lindsay has come on, that while you could certainly say that she was very under-edited in the first half, I mean, that the last 3 episodes, I do think that was probably more impressive than anything we got from Erica in the post-merge. I mean, Erica's best episode was probably the finale, and I think that Lindsay has had 3 really strong episodes in a row.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, you're right. I mean, especially with a good finale, basically any of these contestants could win, probably except Romeo. I don't see Romeo.
I don't know why you keep alluding to that. I feel like that Romeo is going to put this whole thing together. I don't know.
We had a few conversations right around the merge
certainly
time
in certainly in the pre-merge. Romeo looked like he was in a really good position, but I even heard you tell Aaron last week about how that you just seem to take so much pleasure in that. I've been talking about Romeo dominating the game.
You love Romeo.
You sure that you're not maybe listening or half listening? And I'm saying Omer.
I think at Rosenberg, you were Romeo's going to pull in all these threads. He's going to get Tori. He's going to get Marianne. He's going to the mastermind Romeo will rise from the ashes. Yeah. Phoenix like.
Yeah. Maybe in the multiverse that's happening.
Could be him. Maybe that's what you were talking about. It was Romeo.
Maybe that might have been one of the RJP episodes from the multiverse that leaks into the feed from every now and then. I guess let's talk about Drea here, where Drea, who looked like at points, the prohibitive favorite that with all of the hardware, ultimately, ends up being a victim of the Knowledge is Power. If she does not attempt Knowledge is Power, I guess if she does not have that advantage, was she at all hoisted by her own petard here?
It looked like she was going out anyway, right? It looked like she was going to be the target anyway. Mike said he was going to play his idol. Then suddenly, Drea made sense as a target. Everyone's very worried about her. She's a great player. She's got all this stuff in her bag. The only problem is that she, as Dalton Ross pointed out in his recap for the episode, she has a bad habit of telling people about her advantages, which has gotten her in trouble before. And obviously, certainly led to her exit now.
Mm-hmm. Steven, we have hardly talked about the the do or die, which you could say is appropriate, but I think that we should talk a little bit about who played and who didn't play the knowledge the do or die. And coming into this week, I had, in my feedback show with Dave Jorgens, we talked through all of the scenarios. I actually thought that more people would play in the do or die. I actually thought that Drea and Mike would also play in the do or die, which I miscalculated on that. I thought that the do or die at the final 7, I thought was actually a big boost to Jonathan. And it turned out to be, even though it was a, heads up against Lindsay. Should more people have played in the do or die tonight, or did the players did they mostly make the right decision by sitting out of the do or die?
I mean, granted, Lindsay got, first of all, Lindsay clearly made the wrong decision. I mean, yes. You know, I mean, not even apart from results oriented thinking here. I did not get the sense that she was going to win at any point in that challenge. It also looked like she was shaking the whole, I mean, yeah. You know, we're getting a lot of commentary from Jeff about how much Jonathan was shaking. Lindsay was shaking the whole time.
Yeah.
That, you know, obviously she gets the big tribal council moment, but if you have any doubt at all, you know, if you feel safe at all, if you think you're safe, I think it makes a lot more sense. You know, why on earth would you just, you have no idea what this game of chance is.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you risk your whole fate in the game on a game of chance when even in a worst case scenario, you know, you have the ability after tribal council to try to take control of your fate. You know, if you lose immunity, if you don't play for immunity, you can try, you can put something together, you can make a plan. If you lose the do or die, you immediately, you have no control. It's a game of chance. So I honestly, like, why would anyone play that if they weren't like assured of winning or they knew that they were going to get voted out?
Yeah. So I think that Jeff actually did a much better job describing the do or die to the season 42 cast than he did to the season 41 cast. I think there was a lot of confusion in season 41. I believe it was only Liana and Heather, I think, that sat out of the do or die. So I think that five ended up playing and two ended up sitting out. And so if there was a scenario where a lot of people were going to be playing, yeah, I think it makes more sense for the, you know, somebody like Lindsay and certainly Jonathan to be playing. However, if Lindsay's move in this episode was not to vote, I need to vote out Jonathan here at the final seven. If you are not right. I think Lindsay did make a mistake by going into this competition, because unless her plan was, I need to get past Jonathan at this specific round. And, right. And look, there is a scenario where, and we've seen her talk about how she wants to get Jonathan out of the game. If she feels like, well, if I have to get him at six or five, then, and he could win those immunities and then ultimately be in the fire at four, maybe this is the last. But Drea didn't feel that way. You know, nobody else was thinking that way. I think that the right move probably should have been for everybody to just fold and basically, like, you know, look at Jonathan's hand, fold and sit out, you know, give Jonathan the immunity and basically cancel the do or die.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's, I 100% agree. I think that's, yeah, or nobody play. I mean, I guess if you're Jonathan, you're definitely playing.
Yeah, if you're Jonathan, that it makes sense for Jonathan. I think almost in any scenario, like, Jonathan actually almost got screwed by nobody else playing. Like, or by only like one other person playing, whereby that, for, and I think that he was, you know, like, he could have easily ended up in the do or die. Now, Jeff outlined a scenario where Jeff described the do or die and the way it played out in season 41. And I'm feeling a little bit gaslit about the whole thing, because Jeff really tried to make it seem like Deshaun knew he was in trouble. He went in, he opted to go into the do or die to save himself and got to the final. They're like, well, that's not what happened. That Deshaun, like, 1 second into the competition, he had to hold the marbles in place, lost his grip. He was obviously annoyed when it happened. It wasn't like that he threw the do or die because he was feeling like he was in such a tenuous position in the game that he ultimately used the do or die like an offensive weapon. We talked about that potentially moving forward. Players could do that, but that was not what happened in season 41.
No, not at all. It was like, and he was very upset about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there is a scenario where you, if you are the obvious target, that you may want to go into the do or die. And then if you are basically have a 90% shot that you're going home, sure, the 50% shot of the Monty Hall problem would be better odds for you to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if unless you absolutely know you're going home, or you like absolutely feel you have to, you know, eliminate someone or your game is ruined, which, again, like, I don't even think, you know, I get the idea that Lindsay thinks she needs to separate herself from Jonathan, but Jonathan, I mean, from what we've seen, has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I can easily see Jonathan being a final tribal council loser. Like, that to me is a very clear narrative for this season of Survivor.
Yes, I do think that you could see Jonathan potentially at the end, and that it'll definitely be like on the social media, like, what? I don't understand. How did Jonathan not win? But I mean, Jonathan, like, he himself often will talk about, like, I know what I need to do. I need to not do that. This is the exact thing. I'm not going to do this today because I know that everybody's going to get mad. And then he will proceed to do the thing that he says. Yeah. He said, hey, I'm not going to do this today. And then he will do that same exact thing.
Yeah, Jonathan in confessional is very different than Jonathan not in confessional. He like is totally aware of how one should play the game and not completely capable of doing that, which is actually like the hallmark of a great Survivor character is someone who, you know,
very relatable. Knows
what? Sorry?
Relatable.
Relatable, but also like knows the right thing to do and like literally just cannot keep themselves, you know, on track to do that right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, Jonathan, you know, even when Drea left the game, she's like, Jonathan, just so you know, like, I was never coming for you. Like, Drea is not voting for Jonathan.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, where, you know, he's got Roxroy, maybe Mike.
Roxroy, if he's on the jury, is voting for him, maybe. But like, who else, truly? I mean, who else is voting for Jonathan in this jury? I honestly cannot, no, not even Lindsay. Lindsay wouldn't vote for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking like his old allies, but that's it.
So just to close the loop on Do or Die, it's high
could vote for him.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. He's not High's kind of guy. I don't think.
No, okay. High and he had a bromance.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't know. But to go back to the Do or Die, like it's not adding anything. Like, there is like some strategy with the Monty Hall problem, but it, first off, it's in a garbage spot at the final seven where, you know, that when we have the way this season is structured, like for them to photocopy the season one format, like it's not that great of a format. Basically, you know, you have like, only so many like normal votes in the game. You know, you're going to bring everybody together at 12, but only six people can get voted for. You have one normal vote at the final 11, and then you're going to do 5 and 5. So you don't have a final 10. You don't have a final 9. Final 8 is the second normal vote of the season. Final 7, traditionally, one of the most important vote of the season. Yeah. Now we might have it canceled because of we're going to do a random Do or Die.
You can't. So just like the stakes of that are like nobody's going to pull a really crazy move off if they know that the whole thing is going to fall apart. You know, mm-hmm. I think there's like part of like creating a big move is like, you know that it has to be quiet. It has to be like, you know, you got to be like ninjas, you know, like this is you're going to flip the game, like something big is going to happen. But you're not going to take that risk if you think the whole thing could easily fall apart with like the, you know, the flip of a box.
Mm hmm. Yeah. And then you have a vote at the final six and a vote at the final five, which is lumped into the finale. So basically you bring these tribes together at 12 and there are four times that you have a normal vote to get down from 12 to 3.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean, too much.
What are we doing?
Yeah. I mean,
do y'all hate Survivor?
Yeah, I think the final seven, though, I mean, to your point, like is the bit has historically been like the biggest vote of the game. Now, maybe that's not the case with these fluid groups, but that's the one I would like be least inclined to mess with. I mean, I don't mind all like the mixing it up because it keeps it fresh, you know,
it keeps it fresh, but, except when you do the same thing two seasons in a row. But really that there's like if you were going to say like, okay, Steven, you and I, we're going to build a Survivor season. Or like, okay, sure. Let's make sure let's not do anything to mess with the final five, the final seven and the final nine. These are probably going to be in our season. These are the most important votes. And we're missing the like real most important votes of the season.
And especially with all the advantages and idols that you know, with only one vote they got to expire, whatever. This is an old hobby horse, but like there should be one vote where you can't hide behind an advantage.
Sure. Totally agreed. And that being said, this is a great season of Survivor. Okay, so like they're doing a lot of things are getting up.
It's a great point. Like, mm-hmm. We've gone down a rabbit hole of what's, you know, what's wrong and what could be better. It's a really great season. Yeah. This was a great episode. This was a great episode of Survivor.
And it speaks to, you know, the incredible job that they've done with casting the show and all of the fun personalities that are out there. And they've gotten lucky with some of these things, like tonight with Lindsay ultimately getting through the do or die to get us to where even, and again, as much as it, like, we did not think the knowledge of power would be a good idea, it did deliver 2 for 2.
Yeah, but again, like, only because it failed. You know, had the knowledge, yes, in either case, had the knowledge of power been a successful advantage, I think it would have been annoying. Certainly, I think tonight, if Mike, you know, again, like, great TV, I love Drea, I would have loved to see Drea stay. It would have been a really big moment, but I would have been sort of annoyed that this, like, secret power she had that came out of nowhere suddenly, like, steals someone else's idol, and then that guy goes home.
Yeah. On the do or die, I did have one other note of that. I think that the challenge that they used for do or die was actually a much better challenge for do or die than they did last season, where it was much more of, like, this challenge, even though they've changed it from the, you know, the glory days of Christian Hubicki up on the thing for 6 hours against Alec to now it's a 12-minute challenge. They've really increased the difficulty a couple 100%. That being said, that was that challenge is much more of like a test of wills,
right,
than the challenge that Deshaun lost on, which is, you know, holding the marble where, you know, it's not that, you know, your arm gives out. It's just like somehow, like, right, you know,
like you're blank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We saw both Malcolm have 2 shots at that. Wendell, I think, also had 2 shots at that challenge and couldn't do it. It's not a test of wills, that challenge.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
You like, I like this, that you have to, okay, consciously, okay, I am going to give up at this point, as opposed to, oh, my thing fell off.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a great point.
Okay. Steven, what other thoughts did you have about tonight?
Interesting. We did a good job. I think we hit all the big things.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the Romeo talk about a lot of, like, piling on Romeo. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Romeo. My God. With, like, the rice. Who knows? You know, I just wanted, in defense of Romeo, you know, they kept going back to Romeo eating the rice. That could have been like a 15 second thing that happened. And they just, like, cut it up into 7 2-second segments.
Mm-hmm.
That,
good for Romeo. Eat the rice. These people don't respect you, Romeo.
Do you know how many calories Jonathan burns just by breathing? Mm-hmm. Every breath is 500 calories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see Romeo there eating rice and you're not thinking of Jonathan?
Yeah. Steven, I know you had a myriad of foot issues when you were out on Survivor, especially in Second Chances. Did your toenails fall off at any point?
That was a very strange moment. That was a fair... I've never... And she's just like, yeah, sometimes twice a year, my biannual toenail shucking.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Do, like, we have any podiatrists in the audience? Is that, should Marianne get a consultation?
Yeah. That's a very strange, strange thing to happen.
Yeah.
Regularly.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, fell off.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. You know, let's just circle back to Marianne. You said that you feel like that Marianne, you see her with Omer as being in the best positions to win the game. Could we talk through Marianne? Because Marianne did not really seem included. The only time that we really saw Marianne from a strategic perspective was her talking to Romeo and sort of like, hey, look at us. We're on the bottom. If only that those fools at the top could realize that we're still here. And then,
like, to their credit, like both of them were big targets just a few episodes ago. They were the default targets. Now nobody is targeting them. I mean, I guess that's what happens if you are on the bottom and you last long enough. Suddenly, like, the final... seven,
which speaks to the foolishness of having the do or die that you are advertising as for, right, like, hey, if you're on the bottom, this is the perfect thing for you. Like, well, actually, at the final seven, if you're at the top, you should be trying to use the do or die to protect yourself.
Yeah. That's a great point. I feel like she is in a great spot now. She's got the Taku. I never can remember the Taku four.
Sure.
You know, I think she has a lot of great connections with people. Nobody's gunning for her, but I really could see her at the end making a very compelling case for how well she played the game. You know, someone who came into the game unsure of herself, a lot of self-doubt, you know, had a few big moves. If she has a big finale, you know, if she takes out a big player You know, whether it's literally a big player like Jonathan or, you know, a smart player like Omer or, you know, I think she could have a great story in front of the jury where she's such a rootable person. And again, like everything with Survivor is not just like how well you play. It's how much the jury hates the people sitting next to you. Mm-hmm. So if she is next to like, well, next to a Jonathan, you know, she's next to Jonathan and Romeo, Marianne's winning.
Yeah. And she seems to be closer to Romeo than to Jonathan. I'm just trying to think about how this is going to play out for Marianne and just sort of like on like the back of the cocktail napkin point that we're at here with the episode only ending an hour ago that I'm wondering if like, okay, if Marianne had a chance to sort of like, okay, maybe idle somebody out. I kind of think that that ship has kind of sailed because I feel like that when we see an idol played, like I feel like that we will see three idols played. And yeah. So if that happens and she sort of like sets off the either she sets off the chain reaction or plays her idol in the midst of that chain reaction, I kind of feel like it is going to be a little dampened the impact in terms of like, so I'm not sure if Marianne has like a move to put together.
Right. But again, like, I mean, I hear you. I do hear you about that. Well, what if, let's say, okay, so I think, I mean, I guess if Mike gets his idol back, he's probably playing it next episode. To me, he seems like a very logical next boot. I mean, I've been Lindsay Final Five boot for a long time, largely because of how invisible she's been. I hear you that she's had a visibility rise. So if you have the final four of Omer, Marianne, Jonathan, Romeo. Marianne wins fire. You know, maybe Jonathan wins the final immunity, takes Romeo.
You have Marianne winning the fire. I think Marianne's most likely to lose the fire.
Yeah, that's pretty unlikely. Maybe Marianne loses fire. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I just feel like I can see her winning this game. You know, I think she has a lot of, I mean, certainly great at it. She certainly got a lot of support on the jury, I think, right? Like, do people like her? I don't know. For a while, I thought that she would be seen as like too young to choose to give $1 million to. And I think the jury does kind of factor in like, hey, this person is married. This person has kids. You know, this person is like has worked for 20 years. You know, this person is, you know, I think it's harder to give a really young person unless they've played like a stellar strategic game that much money.
I'm just not seeing it. I think Marianne is well liked, but I'm not sure that she's necessarily like has the respect of the rest of the members of the
tribe. But if she's there with Romeo and Jonathan, like, can't you see her beating them?
I think that would be probably the pair that you could see her with, but it's hard to even envision like, you know, how that pair got there. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, unless, how that trio gets there.
Well, like Jonathan wins final immunity. He takes Marianne with him, you know, Romeo wins fire. I mean, could Romeo beat Omer in fire? Yeah, why not? Or maybe Omer's there at the end and like nobody, people are angry.
I mean, the final three last season was kind of like a ragtag group of people that were not really directly working together, you know, as you know, at any point in the game. And so,
well, that's the other thing. Maybe Omer, Marianne, I'm sorry, maybe like Romeo, Marianne and someone. Omer, maybe this is Roman, you know, team up, you know, and just like, basically that's what happened with Erica at last season, right? Suddenly like she like gets like two other people, you know?
Yeah. I guess the way I could see it is like Omer says, hey, Marianne, Romeo, you're at the bottom. Let's go to the end. Yeah. And somehow like Jonathan is like lingering where, you know, he wins a couple of immunities and then ultimately, you know, gets his way into the final four, takes a Marianne or an Omer. And then whoever gets left beats Omer in the fire in the final four.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, you really could see a case for most of the people. I mean, certainly Lindsay, you could see a case, certainly Omer, you could see a case for winning. Mm-hmm. You know, Romeo, I mean, Jonathan is harder to see too.
How about Mike? We haven't really talked too much about Mike. Mike ends up.
Bad episode for Mike.
Bad episode for Mike.
You've been out on Mike for a couple episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I loved Mike's game in the pre-merge, but I feel like that this was an especially rough episode for Mike here tonight. Not only like where we saw how he kind of got duped into the whole high thing, really was taking a lot of credit for it tonight as being his masterstroke in the game.
Yeah. Well, I think with anything, you kind of want to like sell yourself as the mastermind, maybe not like right. I mean, And, you know, it's got a little bit too much time to go. But you do want other people to give you credit for some of the crucial moves.
Mm-hmm. Ideally, but I'm not sure how much you want at this particular juncture in Survivor history, where that Mike even said himself, the person who says that they're calling the shots is the person who gets their head lopped off next, which could have happened potentially for Mike here. It'll be interesting to see, like, for Mike, who he feels like he is working with here on out. He did seem very indebted to Lindsay last week for going on the reward. Does he feel like that it's him and Jonathan? I'm not sure necessarily. I guess that there was that group of five, which Mike referred to as the five. And so now without Drea, is he feeling like it's him, Lindsay? Basically, like, has he replaced Marianne in the Taku Four?
But even with that group of five, you know, he was saying immediately afterwards, oh, I'm just saying that so that Drea feels comfortable.
Right.
Like, I want to get Drea out. Like, this is just the group to make Drea feel okay about it.
Yeah. But basically, it's the four of the other people that were there.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, right. Yeah. And Romeo, too. Romeo votes wrong in every single tribal council. The generous interpretation is that Romeo knows he's on the bottom. Romeo is super paranoid. So this is his defense against the shot in the dark. Romeo knows everyone. This is the generous interpretation, right? Romeo knows everyone's voting for Drea. He thinks Drea could easily cast a vote for me. What if she like plays her shot in the dark? I guess you can't both cast a vote. And look, what if there's a straight vote for me? I want to make sure there's another vote out there going a different direction. Mm-hmm. The not generous interpretation is that Romeo is always not in on the right plan because nobody trusts him.
Yeah. And it's interesting that he was the only person to vote with High and then came back and said how this was such a satisfying tribal council for him to send High out of the game. So
I think he might know. I think he might be playing defense. I think he might.
He might be. I asked High about this in the exit interview, and High did not give a like glowing endorsement of like Romeo's knowledge of what was going on in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think that necessarily, but, you know, I guess who knows? We'll speak to Romeo one of these days.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Steven, let me bring in for you the answers to the poll question that we presented to our listeners. Should the Do or Die return in season 43? It's not too late. It's not too late to die the Do or Die. Okay. What do you think, Steven? Do you want to see it return? No. The affirmative.
85% no.
85% no. Okay. Let's see. It was 92 no.
Wow.
We've seen it. We've seen it. Stop it.
Yeah.
We don't need it. It's fine. The players are doing great on their own.
Yeah.
You don't need to do this.
The bell. No, the bells. It's like, you know, it's like, this is like, it's fun for Jeff, right? It's fun for Jeff to be Monty Hall.
Yes. I mean, it's like, oh my God, we got so much going on tonight. Do or Die. We got this, but it really, they had maybe the best episode of the season, and it could have been one of the worst.
Yeah. It would have been such a dud. I will say Jeff's, I thought he did it very well with the chat to the camera and then like the turn. Come on in, guys. I thought that was mm-hmm. very smooth. Very smooth.
You know, we didn't really talk much about Drea's exit. One of the wildest exits.
So fun. How did we not even lead with that? That was such a great moment.
It was great. You know, it was a little bit of sort of like the like Wizard of Oz ending of like, and you were there. So Drea is going to. She revealed to Mike that she played her double vote on him.
Yeah.
He's still going to come to visit her in Canada.
Yeah.
She said,
Mike, if you get to the end, you're winning.
You're winning. Which, great. That's the kiss of death. Thanks a lot. It's probably intentional,
right?
Yes.
It's like when Victoria said that to Gavin, kiss of death.
Mm-hmm.
She said to, you know, Omer's the only one who knew.
Mm-hmm.
Rooting for Lindsay. The other blessings. Yeah, rooting for Lindsay.
It's just something kind to Marianne. I don't remember. Jonathan's the only one that got kind of like the shady goodbye.
Oh, yeah. I was never coming for you.
Never coming for you. Even though you're always coming for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fear with this exit, and I tweeted this, is that now everybody does it. You know, like everyone's like does the like whole like run down the aisle, you know, giving everybody their like last blessing.
Yeah. Do you think that will happen?
It could. I mean, now that you've seen it, why wouldn't you?
Well, I think that High kind of put this out into the universe last week. He was such a good sport when he left. I think that sort of like that there's sort of like. There's like a flavor of the season where I think that the players for the most part like are gonna sort of like go out and be like really good sports about it.
Yeah, I mean that is what you want to see. I agree. I mean it's fun to see a Gabon season every now and again where like the players truly hate each other.
Yeah,
but it's also fun. I mean what you want out of Survivor or what I want out of Survivor is like people who are like having this intense experience together and are deeply bonded as humans and yet also are playing this intense strategic game as hard as they can.
Play as hard as you can. And then we love it when the players like are able to sort of like, hug it out at the end of the season. And, you know, just like, and the reunion show, you know, usually brings that where we see like, oh, like, hey, so-and-so and so-and-so what's going on. They shake hands and everybody is happy. And it's like weird for the audience. Like people are like, no, I still hate their guts. I never want to see them again. And so it's really great to see that. And I wonder if also that season 42, now it was not really the case with the season 41 cast, but the season 42 cast, you know, again, you know, sort of like that they had come out of like a prolonged lockdown and then so that they are really closer to sort of like not having a ton of human contact. And maybe that's a reason why maybe they're feeling a little bit closer and warmer towards each other overall.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, sometimes the best seasons just like, I mean, there seems to be like a correlation almost with that to a certain degree where like, I don't know, like the David versus Goliath cast all seem to really like each other. You know, it seems like seasons, I don't know. Maybe it's not really the case. Maybe
all right.
Making that up right now. Questions?
You ready for some questions, Stephen? Okay. Why don't you get things started with Jonathan's fishing net?
Oh, Jonathan's fishing net wants to know, should Omer and Lindsay have voted out Mike tonight? They would have kept the Vati idol. Drea's advantages still get burned. And the Taku 4 have the numbers over the Ika 2. What are your thoughts?
Okay, it's interesting. I definitely have seen people theorizing about should they have voted out Mike here in this spot. Now, that, you know, in the short term, better for Omer in that he has an idol. And if Omer ends up losing in an advantage get-in, maybe we might say that, okay, well, this was right. The wrong move to ultimately take Drea out of the game when they should have taken Mike out of the game. But the thing is, you know, you have Mike who's kind of indebted to you now. You saved his life in the game. He's still in the game. He's also the saltiest person in the game when he gets crossed. Drea, who seemingly seems like a good sport about the whole thing, that being voted out. But if she knows Omer is the only person who told her, do you want Drea sort of like marking you for to being the next person out after you cross her like this?
We didn't say that explicitly, but that's exactly the problem.
And send Mike to the jury salty as F.
Right. The biggest, so the huge problem that we did talk about is having someone who's furious at you on the jury. But we didn't talk about, in that scenario, Drea is still in the game and she's furious at you and now she's coming for you. So like maybe you miss one vote, you know, maybe you can play your idol immediately, but you can't, you know, Yeah. It's not going to last.
Omer goes to potentially maybe he's a final three goat at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look,
I still think this is a danger for Omer that he's going to have some really bitter people on the jury.
Who?
Well, Drea right now, I think I don't think Drea is going to be like, oh, it's all game. She could. That would be great. But for Omer, and Omer's playing an incredible game. Holy cow. What an amazing game Omer is playing. But
yeah,
I think there's a chance that she feels really betrayed by that.
It's possible. But I also feel Drea seems to really respect, strength and people who play the game hard. And I feel like that. She when did she turn on Romeo when it was I'm paranoid? I thought that, right. that when he projected weakness, I feel like that this was such a baller move, what he did, where she can sort of see okay, I played this the wrong way. I don't know. I hope you're right.
I
don't think she's going to end up being bitter with Omer.
I just think with Omer specifically, he's got this generous, open face. He's so nice. He's so affable. And then he's the one who snakes you. I think you're going to be that weasel. You're not going to be that warrior betrayed me. You're going to be that weasel screwed me. I think there's a danger. It's like often you see with older ladies, they're mom screwed me over. I think so much of how you can play the game depends on how people perceive you, in some ways based on your archetype.
But I think for Omer, I think that's sort of baked into his game and his presentation in the final tribal council, where I think that he is going to say yes, I had to do exactly. I think he will be able to articulate where he's not going to be Dre, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? I made a mistake. I think he's going to own it and really explain to her why he had to do what he did.
I hope you're right. I mean, that would be a great ending to the season. I mean, Omer winning I'd be very happy with.
It would be cool. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question. This is from Billy. What would have happened to Do or Die if 6 out of the 7 players decided to sit out the challenge? I mean, I think that this is pretty easy. Jonathan, it's not that, okay, well, Jonathan, you are the only He's person in the challenge, so you are also the person in Do or Die. I think that if everybody else basically folds, Jonathan wins the hand, gets immunity, and we go about our day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we might honestly not even see the them presenting the Do or Die. Stuff that goes nowhere that they try to play, they don't even doesn't even make air sometimes. So it's conceivable that there would be a world where the Do or Die is a part of this, the show. I guess I'm sorry. Everyone's sitting out in this scenario, so obviously there's a reason. Never mind. I take that. I rescind that.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah.
No, it was a terrible point, Rob.
They do that. It was making sense to me until you said, they have to explain why nobody's playing. Maybe they just say Jonathan, we willed immunity to Jonathan today. Yeah. Okay. All right. What does Jonathan's left bicep have to say?
Jonathan's left bicep wants to know, will Omer be seen as more of a threat due to Drea's parting words?
I don't think so. I really don't, because she said so much. She said she basically gave a parting shot for everybody. So it wasn't Victoria and Gavin, where Victoria says, okay, I'm voting for, Gavin's going to win. It was not one of those. It was going to be lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. That's a great point. Is because everyone had a little thing,
Yeah.
And plus, Lindsay already knows Omer. I mean, they're going to find out how it happened. How did Mike, Mike knows, Lindsay knows, so I feel like people are going to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, Drea had sort of a big brother goodbye of all right, I'm going to give everybody a hug, say something to everybody on the, and it's all right, Drea, please pick up your bags, come out of the house. But Jeff loved it. So also that Drea did a thing. I didn't even know this was possible, that you go up to Jeff and he's going to stuff your charge. You're just no. And he kind of does. He doesn't do it. He just keeps saying,
and then
no.
She was do you want to do it? What a weird, it was fun.
And he did say, say the tribe has spoken. And she's no. He's I don't know what to do now. Jeff seems stumped. He didn't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Genuine. Is advantage getting happening on the final five? All right, Steven, do you think an advantage getting situation is more likely to happen at the final five or final six? How about that?
Probably the final.
Yeah. We saw, so it happened in the final six with Suri. And again, that was a true advantage get in where we ended up with five people immune out of six. There is no legacy advantage. So we will not see that happen at the final six. It could, as I said earlier, it could happen at the final five.
But what happens if it's at the final six? Let's say Mike has his idol back. Mike plays his idol. Omer plays his Lindsay plays her idol. Marianne plays her idol, I guess. Mm-hmm. In that scenario, someone has immunity.
Well, it would only be four out of the six. So we would read the votes, and potentially, we could have a scenario where if the votes were for the idol holders, where the votes are nullified, then there would be a situation where I guess we would, it's basically no votes at that point. And the question is, would the people who played idols that got voted for, it's zero votes, would they get to re-vote for the players who are eligible to be voted for, or would it be where then everybody else what happened in Cambodia? Okay, so basically it's a similar situation, right, where people got voted for, but then there were no votes. Votes got canceled. I'm pretty
sure I remember Jeremy revoting. I remember him skipping up to, maybe that was prior to the idols being.
Yes, he was so excited to vote out Kimmy. But then.
No, that had to be after the idols, right? Because the votes were for Jeremy and Wentworth
mm-hmm.
in the first round. So then
I'm sure the chat will know. But I guess the question is, would they re-vote for, say it's Omer and Romeo are the two people that that are eligible to be voted for. Would they go make fire, or would everybody vote for Romeo at that point?
Or Omer.
I'm thinking that those people are working with Omer, but maybe they might recognize
right. Maybe that is. So that's how Romeo goes out. That actually makes sense to me. That's how Romeo goes out. That whoever the actual target was mm-hmm. is protected in this advantage get in. I think there would be a revote. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think so. I think there would be a one revote if there's no votes. Yeah, why wouldn't the people who, because there's no votes, it's not like they. Why couldn't they vote?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. So in the final six in Cambodia, and people who are feeling like ghosts because they're yelling at their podcast and they know the answer. So in the final six in Cambodia,
they had to decide, they re-voted,
was going to be Keith or Kimmy. It's okay, you're not, there was a little bit, are you changing your vote? No, we're not changing our vote. So it was Keith or Kimmy. There was no talk of that they were going to make a fire. It was just basically okay, what about the group decide?
Yeah. That's a really good point. There was no talk about them making a fire. Gosh, Rob, I don't know, man. I might remember earlier in the day, but not mm-hmm. at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I got a kid.
I know. All right. Yeah. Steven, what about the skull that doesn't get picked? What do they have to say?
Skull that doesn't get picked wants to know, are Jonathan and Romeo officially goats? Especially thinking of Jonathan, given he is now solely getting the provider segments. I do think Jonathan is a goat. I think Romeo is a goat too. Mm-hmm. I see a scenario where Romeo gets voted out in a sort of advantage getting where the choices between him and someone like Omer, or maybe he's just the only choice. I don't see either of those people winning.
Yeah. Romeo, I think that his chances are dead. Jonathan, I think his chances are mostly dead. And I could see the scenario where, Jonathan, what if he goes on the immunity run here? Okay.
People are so salty at him. They already know he can win immunities. They find that he doesn't speak well to them. No, they think he's bad at strategy. Mm-hmm. I don't think you give the win, not in this day and age, to someone who just wins immunities and is bad at strategy and isn't treating people.
He's bad at the social game, but I feel like that, when we talk about is the final tribal council, Steven, is it more having conversations with people in the camp life part of the game? Or is it more talking to the producers when he speaks to the camera, he seemingly does know the right things to say.
Right.
But I suspect it's more having the conversations. He's going to get, we've seen him fall on his face at Tribal Council, with Drea a couple of weeks ago. He got really salty and agitated during that whole conversation about what Drea was saying. Didn't want to listen to her. And so, yeah, I think he probably will be bad at the final Tribal Council.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, you're right that he's very well spoken when he's in these confessionals, and you could see a world where
he can monologue.
Yeah.
But it's a dialogue at the final tribal council.
Yeah, now it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What does Danny D have to say?
Danny D wants to know, since we're down to four out of the final six being the Taku four, who do you think benefits from the four of them sticking together versus flipping at the next vote? That's a great question.
Okay. So I guess who would the flip be? And I think that you probably would need two of them to flip here at the final six. Before we get too far down into that, do you think, has the Taku four been, is this a pagonging and that the show has hidden it from us? Like, has the Taku four always been working together, Steven?
I think it's like, maybe if they've, I think there's always been that kind of like core aspect of them. They got along super well at the beginning. You know, we had all those scenes where like, oh my God, Jonathan said we're a tight four. How could he have said that? Now everybody knows we're a tight four. I think even if they've kind of branched out and like had some flirtatious relationships with other tribes during this, you know, during the merge, they've always kind of got that essential bond of like, we're working together. And like, even when, you know, Jonathan said, you know, they had to target someone from Taku, and Jonathan's like, well, I guess Marianne, you know, he was like, well, I have to target someone, but I really like Marianne and I really want to work with her, you know? So I think they all had that sense of, we're going to kind of look out for each other, even if they're not necessarily like number one, number onesies.
And so for the Taku four, who does it make sense for? Well, I think it's probably all roads lead to Omer. And I guess the question is, because you need four out of six, unless you have Marianne has an extra vote too. Yeah. That's the thing that we have not, I've forgotten. So really Marianne, could basically go with, Romeo, and that's three potentially. So they would need one more. And the question is, would Omer be incentivized to flip against, Jonathan and Lindsay and Mike potentially?
What if Marianne and Romeo at the final five vote out, you know, I don't know. I lost that thread.
I'm not sure. I could be wrong about this. I think that maybe the extra vote expires at final six. Maybe somebody in the chat could fact check that. I think it might expire a vote early.
Yeah, that would be a great move, though, if Marianne, Romeo, and say Omer voted against. I've always thought, I mean, I can see why Omer would do that. I mean, I've always thought that what's so great about the Taku four is that they're so different and that all four of them have such a, you know, have such a compelling story against anybody else in that group. Yeah. You know, you could see any three of that group sitting next to each other and having a great story.
Okay. According to the chat, a couple of people confirmed. So the extra vote expires at the final six, but also the great Mike Kimura, longtime patron, that he says that the amulet expires at the final six. So that actually also,
Lindsay is definitely playing it.
Yeah. And also that when we talk about the possibility of an advantage getting at the final five, that actually, that maybe they bake that into the equation where, that would not be possible, for that to, happen at the final five. So for all of Omer Nation, breathe a sigh of relief potentially about not getting advantage getting at the final five.
And does nobody knows about the amulet now, right?
I mean, well, no, Omer knows about it. Mike knows about it. Yeah.
Right.
Now that becomes Lindsay's up the table.
So Lindsay's definitely playing it next episode. So Lindsay is safe. It just depends what happens with that idol. If Omer gives it, I think he's going to give it back to Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder that, I guess I'm thinking maybe does Omer potentially, is it in his interest to go with Marianne and her extra vote and Romeo and take out Jonathan if he is not immune? Or do you want to, like, basically, are you comfortable if you're Omer letting Jonathan stay in the game until the end?
I think so, because I think, I mean, maybe people have, you know, because there was that huge run of winners who were all just, you know, beefy dudes in their mid 30s or late 20s, you know, like, maybe you're still like a little bit like, I don't want that person to get to the end because of history. Mm-hmm. But I think at this point, like, yes, like, you think like he's not going to win, you know, like, so they said that about Xander, right? I mean, Xander was different because he was much younger, but I don't know.
I guess that we've talked about like lately, like, Omer can do anything he wants. What should he want to do?
Yeah. I think if you're Omer, you obviously want Romeo next to you at the end.
But will that be a betrayal of if you were Taku for the whole game?
But the thing is, like, they're never going to vote for Romeo. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you are Omer, you know, you want to be people next to you.
Okay, but it's
you.
The final three. Okay,
right. No, so that's the question. So who's the other person? Right. You know, you need it to be someone who equally has their hands dirty, right? So it, maybe it is a Marianne, someone who is 22, someone who, you know, used to get on people's nerves a lot early on. So yeah, Omer, Romeo, and Marianne, like that's a good alliance for him.
So the thing is the Omer's game has like been all about sort of like, you know, having like the cat's paw of like doing things, but then like sort of like getting somebody else blamed for it. Like, I think that really, if we're really trying to think of like what would be the next thing like that, he either needs to get Mike voted out of the game and make Mike feel like it was Jonathan's fault, like get Jonathan to turn on Mike or get Mike to turn on Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Or is Omer more worried about Lindsay because Lindsay, you know, maybe has
Lindsay's
more.
Heating up also.
Yeah, exactly.
Lindsay's the person who's coming. Like Lindsay might be the person who I think is the biggest jury threat maybe on the board right now.
Yeah, I kind of agree. That's an interesting point.
Okay. All right.
I think Lindsay's out of five.
Okay. Couple more questions. Okay. Alvaro from Peru says, Marianne needs a big move to have a shot at the final tribal council. What do you guys think that she could do? I'd love for her to use her idol on someone like Natalie did on season 29. Okay. Well, that would actually be a pretty interesting move. That
final
could...
five, she idols out Lindsay. Final six uses her extra vote to flip the script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that her extra vote and her idol, like she does have some hardware where, okay, this would be the week she'd have to play the extra vote. Could she potentially go with somebody not expected and then use the extra vote? Final five that, you know, I talked about, like everybody brings their idol out. So what? No big deal. But if she played the idol on somebody, maybe that's something.
Yeah. What if she
saves Romeo?
Saves Romeo. I mean, that would actually be, I mean, that's a great call.
At the final five, Taku four. All right. Yeah. Easy vote. Let's vote out Romeo. I guess nobody's expecting that Marianne's going to play the vote on the idol on Romeo. Her and Romeo pick which person they want to send home.
Wow. That would be good. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Final five, obviously.
Final five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Final five.
And they send home Lindsay. That's a great, that would be a big move.
Final five prophecy. Yeah. Steven's prophecy could come through. So really, a lot of interesting stuff to get into it's going to be a fun week on the podcast to talk about all this stuff. Cause I think that we know what's out there. We know that, and there are a lot of things, but we sort of like, okay, we know we're going into like a normal vote. We know sort of like the players. And so interesting.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
I came in here with a few set theories, and now you've really thrown me for a loop here. You've really expanded my horizons, Rob, as you always do.
So look, it's Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Steven, let me tell you a little bit about what's coming up here on RHAP. Okay. All right. So we'll start things off. Okay. Exit interview coming up on Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. Then we will have our episode recap coming up with Ricard. I'm going to get a question thread up in the Robert's Podcast Patreon group later on tonight. We'll have our feedback show with Bryce, and then the Survivor Academy coming up this weekend with Anessa. So be on the lookout for that, where we talk through everything we learn for future Survivor players every week for the patrons of Robert's Podcast. By the way, I posted last week's Survivor Academy in the main feed with Mary Krakowski, if you want to check that out. And then over on the Robert's Podcast Survivor Podcast feed, we've got a jam-packed week. Jess McKenna is on the B&B Why Blank Lost. Sandra's daughter, Nina, is going to be on with Shannon on Survivor Global, not to mention the Stockwatch and, of course, Purple Pants Podcast, Survivor News Edition with Bryce and Wendell, all coming up in our Survivor Podcast feed. You can find that all at robinswebsite.com/survivor feed. Steven, do you watch The Circle?
No.
Okay. Circle Season 4, if you can believe it, is back.
People love The Circle, though, yeah? No, people like The Circle.
I think people loved The Circle, but it's back. And so check out Taryn Armstrong with Matt Liguori and Amy Chan. Talk about are people loving The Circle Season 4? We'll find out when you listen to week one coverage, and then week two should be around the corner. Check that out. And then over on Mess Magnet, Steven, I know how much you love celebrity culture, all the gossip.
Such a mess.
Yeah. Of course, check out what's going on once again, as Kirsten McKinnis and Sasha Joseph are back. You could hear that brand new podcast talking about the week in celebrity gossip in the Rob is a podcast, robswebsite.com/messfeed.
Wow. Wow. Rob, I have something I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes. What is it?
So a couple weeks ago, you know, I heard you, well, I didn't actually hear it, but I saw on Twitter, you know, you had a podcast with Hannah Shapiro.
Yes.
Where you talked about the idol that smells like a cinnamon roll.
Yes.
I wanted to do you one better. So your idea was an idol that smells like a cinnamon
roll. I had one idea that an idol that really stinks very badly, and then an idol that also smells very good.
Yeah. I want to do you one better.
Yes.
What about an idol that actually is a cinnamon roll?
Okay.
So you have to, you know, not only do you, you know, you got this strategic decision. Do I use this as an idol or do I eat the delicious cinnamon roll? That's a tough call. And you have to use it before the vermin eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stop the other contestants from eating it. You can't bury it.
Yeah. Some people have suggested ideas of that the idol is a fish. Basically, you know, but what percent of the idol constitutes like having the actual thing? I think if you were going to have some sort of an edible idol, I think that you'd probably want it to be like some sort of like, I don't know, like a Laffy Taffy type thing, or like,
because there's no fear of
some
vermin.
Sort of like Jolly Rancher type idol.
The vermin are not going to eat a Jolly Rancher, though. You know, maybe ants would eat a Jolly Rancher, but you're not going to get like rodents eating a Jolly Rancher. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm no rodentologist, but I don't think a rodent would eat a Jolly Rancher. Fishy word. Should I give it to, I think Lindsay, right? Lindsay? I mean, Omer or Lindsay?
I think Omer or Lindsay. Well, I think it's Omer or Lindsay, but I thought that Lindsay also, but Lindsay shouldn't have been in the do or die to begin with.
Right.
And she also should have switched her box.
So you think Lindsay, you know, you think Omer. I mean, Lindsay, you know, actually had the idea, as you reminded me, to do the whole switcheroo with Mike. And Lindsay has not yet received a fishy. So fishy for Lindsay.
Okay. There you go. Can't go wrong. Okay. Over on Patreon, of course, the best way that you can support Rob is a Podcast is become a patron of Rob is a Podcast. Check out everything we have going on in our patron podcast feed, including things like the Patron 5 for 5, the Survivor Academy, where I talk to you as your personal Survivor instructor, and everything going on in our Rob is a Podcast patron community on Facebook and Discord. That's all at robisawebsite.com/patron. All right. And of course, thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you are subscribed to Rob is a Podcast. Go to robswebsite.com/subscribe, where you'll get access to Rob is a Podcast and all of our RHAP show feeds all in one place. robswebsite.com/subscribe. All right, Steven, what a fun-filled, I think maybe longest know-it-alls of the year, maybe even going back to the first episode.
Wow, yeah, we've really been a very tight hour, you know, tight hour, but mm-hmm. tight set, tight one.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Steven. Okay. So you won an award this week. What's next for you?
That was my news. You asked me every week, what's my news? And I was like, this week I've got news. And mm-hmm. you ruined it at the start of the podcast. You congratulated me, you know, killed me.
I scooped you.
Yeah. Scooped me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. That's the big news.
Yeah, we're having a wild time here at my house. My mom is visiting this week.
Oh,
yes, I know. And you had your parents in town. Yeah,
my parents were in town briefly. Yes.
Yeah, went to not one but two Little League baseball games before the show tonight. So jam packed day.
Any teams you know? Was it just any reason you went, like those particular teams?
My kids.
Your kids' teams.
Yes, kids. My kids both played.
I thought you just loved Little League. You know, track. You're such a sports fan.
That's
me. Take them all.
You know me. Yeah. All right.
You love the baseball teams.
Again, Steven, great job once again last week in my absence. You were such a pro.
God, Rob.
Okay.
You make it look easy. It's hard.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. More great Survivor coverage coming tomorrow. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.